If you're listening to the Nolan Show yesterday, you'll have heard an interview I did with the former Loyalist godfather, Johnny Adair. He claimed that Loyalist paramilitary structures were still intact and squeezing money out of their communities. I asked him what the level of protection money rackets in Loyalist areas was like.
Well, Stephen, I know for a fact that building sites still in their immediate area, every single one of them there. And I know in areas like places like Chinese takeaways, they pay a hefty sum every week for takeaways. I know that for a fact.
So what type of money would a Chinese takeaway be paying each week?
Between between £300 and £500 a week.
Per week?
Per week, Stephen.
How do you know that's still going on? You don't live here anymore.
For a fact, Stephen, listen, if you listen to what I said, tell you carefully, I am still in touch with many people over there, rank and file, and indeed leaders. So I have a good insight into what goes on. And that's how I know the specifics of £300 and £500.
And that £300 to £500 a week, where does that money go?
Into the coffers. That's me telling the truth, Stephen. There's no war machine, there's no military funding, there's no money put aside for prisoners. It's into there. That's why they live in these big luxury houses and drive their luxury cars and don't have a worry. But what I'm saying is, Stephen, karma is a wonderful thing and karma will come back and bite them all.
That's Johnny Adair, who described himself on yesterday's programme as a security consultant. I see the Belfast Telegraph have written up a transcript of the interview. They're running with a story front page this morning. Glenn Roberts, Chief Exec of the Northern Ireland Independent Retail Trade Association, is with us. Morning to you, Glenn.
Good morning, Steve.
How aware are you of protection money being extorted from people?
Well, I think it's still a problem, but I think it's very much a mixed picture because not only are we seeing paramilitary groups on all sides involved in this, but we're seeing a rapid increase in the number of organised crime gangs. And Ron Combe, head of the PSNI organised crime branch, said that we've seen a 100% increase in recent years in organised crime gangs, and they've risen from 60 to over 170. So they're very much part of this picture as well. But I think that what we've got to really focus on and what are the solutions to that, and I think because we've seen the police reduced from over at the height of 13,000 down to about 7,000. And there are some questions, I think, in terms of the budget to tackle this type of organised crime. It's always a hard thing to quantify because a lot of small business owners, they don't want to come forward, they don't want to go public on this. But I think what we need is focus on the resources that the organised crime task force need and the organised crime branch need to tackle this problem, because it's not just as easy as saying paramilitaries involved in this. These crime gangs are heavily involved in this type of extortion.
Do the figures stack up of what Adair suggested, 300 to 500 a week?
I'm not aware of that particular scenario. I think because it's very hard to produce the evidential base, because it is a mixed picture, because you have criminal gangs in the picture, you have paramilitaries, you have former paramilitaries, you have individuals claiming to be from paramilitaries who use the money for their own personal ends. You've also got a what's called bad on bad, which is basically where you have paramilitary organisations extorting from criminal gangs, effectively taxing criminal gangs to allow them to operate. I think what we need is a proper coordinated approach right across every agency. We need to be ensure that, you know, when a small business owner comes forward to the police, they can do so with confidence and obviously full confidentiality. But I don't think, I don't want to sort of create a big stir story that this is widespread, that it's rampant. I think it has decreased. I think it's a very different model. And I think what we've got to focus on is the bigger picture. How do we tackle organised crime?
Here's George in the Shankills called us about this. Morning, George.
Morning, Stephen. Stephen, now let me explain a couple of things here. Why people, now I know it was journalism and you run with a story yesterday, but people up here are up in arms of a couple of things he said yesterday. Back to the most important thing, in my opinion, in a minute. But I had two businesses on the shankle, Stephen. I had a fast food outlet and a newsagent. The DRD knocked them down 10 years, 11 years ago, with a view to rebuilding them for me. So did, because the shankle was to be redeveloped. I'm still waiting on them opening up again. I had to take another job on. Thankfully, I was able to get another job and took it on. I've been working from then. Seemed to take £500, which this man claimed, idiotically, at best, it's an ego trip he was on. But to take £500 out of any business, notwithstanding a small business in the shankle, a week, It's just unheard of. And I mean, anybody with a bit of business sense could come on and tell you this. That's £2,000 a month, Stephen. No, big businesses couldn't withstand this. And
so you're saying extortion doesn't happen?
Steve, I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Now, bear with me here. It happens. Of course it happens. It happens all across Belfast. People know it happens. But on a scale that he's claiming, I don't know, it happens in both Republican and Loyalist areas. And I think you had a guy, you had Jim Wilson on yesterday saying they're not Republicans and they're not Loyalists. In my opinion, they're not. And people in the fecal tell you, you can't be a Loyalist and a criminal. You can't be a true Republican and a criminal. So you can't. But Stephen, let me tell you the second part would hurt people up here. Would he come on and say, now this is the man that ripped our community apart, family against family and friend against friend. And thankfully, it's got back to some sort of normalisation now. He also told you yesterday that he's absolutely certain and sure that Bolton sites up here are being extorted as well. You heard that in the interview, didn't you?
He didn't specify the area, so we don't know what area he was talking about.
We haven't had a Bolton site as such in the Shankill in 30 years. You were up filming there a couple of years ago.
But George, don't start to tell me that people aren't collecting protection money in the Shankill, because they are. Should they be terrified of doing that? Wise up.
Stephen, listen to me. Now, listen, I know it's journalism, but listen, you need to listen here.
You need to talk sense.
I'm talking sense, Stephen. It's not on the scale that the media is trying to. Of course it happens. And it happens all over Belfast, indeed, all over the world it happens. But it's not on the scale that's trying to be reported that there's gangsters rolling about the Shankill here and big, massive, flashy cars. The only people I remember going on Jamaican holidays and that there as long gone from the Shankill, who never worked a day in their lives, is genuine people up here trying to help this community. So there's a trend that genuine people works for this community. And keep demonising them and demonising and demonising, you're doing it harm. Of course, and I admit, there's extortion. Everybody knows that. So on a scale, I don't think it's anywhere near that the media try and purport. It needs to all stop, because they're not loyalists and they're not Republicans and Republican areas. But chiefly I'm speaking about my area. You can't be on a loyalist and a criminal. And it does not happen up here on the scale that's being reported.
How do you know?
Stephen, I'm from the area. Now, you know, I'm on the ground every day. I work all over North and West Belfast. I see it going on and I know for a fact.
So when someone knocks a door and collects money on behalf of loyalism, what should that person do?
Stephen, it doesn't happen. I don't know where people's getting this from. I'll tell you what happens, and this has been going on for as far as back as I can remember. At the 12th and that, there, people would come around and crack for street bunting and flags. If you don't want to give, you don't give. Most houses give £1 or £2, so they do. That's the only time, and I promise you, faithful, I'll stand over it anywhere, that's the only time you'll see anybody rapping doors up here for money. And what you need to do is, I'm out of the business due to DRD, rigging the Shankill till it's very, very hard and trying to kill it off. That my business wasn't rebuilt. But get business people on. I'm sure there's one or two listening.
I've spoken to businesses, okay, who are paying protection money. I've spoken to them.
And I'm only after admitting that it goes on.
And they would be burnt out if they didn't pay.
Stephen, well, answer me this here. When was the last time you heard of anybody being burnt? I'm talking about the Greater Shankill, not talking about Belfast. When was the last time?
Well, they're probably not getting burnt out because they're probably paying.
Stephen, honestly, I'm speaking from experience here. Well, I can speak for a fast food outlet and a news agency that I had. I had them for 20 years, and not once did anybody ever rap my door for money. Now, you had the butcher on the other week, told you. He had three businesses, so they have three, and they've never been rapped a door for money. Now, anybody else, it's a disgrace. I would advise them not to pay. I would advise them not to pay and go to the police or go to some of the local electoral parties. So, but I mean,
go to the police and do what? Go to the police and make a statement and get burnt out the next day.
Stephen, where's this happening? Where's the evidence that this is happening? You put a guy on there yesterday who's been out of this country for 20 years and come on and told us that he was sure and certain it was happening. Well, if he's sure and certain it was happening, give it over to the police or give it over to somebody that can do something about it. But to demonise a whole community, I know you're not me.
You've just admitted it. It's still happening, by the way.
Yes. I'm sure. I don't know where it's happening, but I'm sure it is happening all over Belfast. And what you could do and try and redress the balance. I know you told Jim Wilson you said 20 times yesterday, but each and every time, I mean, let's talk about gangsterism and let's talk about extortion. you were on your thing, sensational that Johnny Adair told you that somebody was paying £500 a week, which is nonsense, absolute nonsense. Any businessman worth his salt will tell you that, even in the centre of town, couldn't afford to pay somebody £500 a week. But you sensationalised it all across, it was all across social media about loyalist gangsters. Let's move into South Armagh, so we're hundreds and hundreds of millions of pounds, and do programmes in that. This is what Jim Wilton and others are trying to tell you all the time.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's have a listen. Stay there. Let's have a listen to some of our callers this morning. Gordon and Yuri. Morning, Gordon.
Sorry, Stephen. Stephen, first of all, I love having Yuri. I'm a Protestant, but I done contract and work around the Shankill Road, house maintenance and stuff. Now, I'll grant you, it was about 10 years ago. And yes, you were asked sort of taxi, politely, whatever you want to call it. But it was like 20, 30, 40 quid a week. You couldn't cover 500 quid, Stephen, out of the books. But, I mean, yes, you were taxi, quietly asked, whatever way you wanted to put it, and you bungled 20, 30, 40 quid. It was that sort of money.
And did you think you were giving the money to loyalist paramilitaries?
Oh, no, I was. I know who the man was. Believe it, Stephen, there's no doubt I know who he was. But, I mean, we lost a Cango hammer one time, somebody left it, it was like 600 quid worth, and I said to them, like, their man, that's right, you tell you some protection, as a Cango went missing yesterday. The Cango reappeared on Monday morning. That's all I'm telling you. But yes, you were taxi asked, but it was like 30, 40 quid. It was no fortunes, you know what I'm trying to say.
Steve, here's Andrew in Lisburn. Thank you, George. Morning, Andrew.
Morning, Tim.
Go ahead.
Tim, you know, we work around the loyalist areas and all, and if you don't pay the protection money, you don't have new stuff when you come the next morning. That's why it was on your store saying, don't pay it. You have to pay it if you want to work.
So you would have no confidence of fronting up to them and not paying it?
Well, you have to pay it if you want to work. You know, if you want to work in the estate, you have to pay it.
Or what?
Well, you don't have new stuff there when you go back to work the next morning.
You listen to this guy, George?
Yes, of course I'm listening, Stephen. I've already admitted that it did go on in the past and probably does go on to a certain scale now.
Stop banging on that I've got an agenda and blah, blah, blah.
And now listen to me. Listen to what I said. I didn't say you've got an agenda. I said it's a sweeping statement that covers the whole of the Shankill, and it doesn't. Of course it still goes on, and it goes on in Republican areas as well. So there's nobody's denying that. But they're not loyalists. You keep them as loyalist gangsters and Republican gangsters. So you do. They're not loyalists and they're not Republicans. If they're... See, there's a group up here, and it covers the way of Belfast at the minute. So you call it the ACT group. So you do now. That's people action for community transition, right? The work they're doing up here is unbelievable. I've watched them for the scooters coming back this last couple of weeks. Putting that the DRD wouldn't put it, putting slow down, saying something. The outside scooters and that there. You know what I mean? Focusing on work like that there. It's getting done. Don't focus on one or two people who's using the name of loyalism to fill their own pockets, or using the name of republicanism to fill their own pockets. On a scale that the media is trying to purport, it does not happen. It may be used to pre-ceasefires and that there, and nobody would deny that there.
There's Martin in Belfast. Have a listen to Martin. Go on, Martin.
Yes, Stephen. Just ringing. Yeah, see what that fellow was saying there? It wasn't £20 or £30. It was £100 per week that we were paying as contractors, and we also had to employ different people on site.
Where did you work, Martin? Where did you work?
On the Shankill.
Did you work anywhere else in Belfast?
I've worked on the Falls Road and all too. Never paid a sausage.
You see, well, there's the agenda, Martin. I mean, anybody, any right-thinking person on here knows that's nonsense.
No, that's not nonsense.
It's just fact that it is nonsense.
You were never ever approached. You were never ever approached on the Falls Road.
When was the last time you worked in the Shankill?
Up around Anthem and all too.
Well, when was the last contract you done in the Shankill that you could charge money?
Oh, don't get me wrong, it was years ago, but you still got approached for money, you had to employ people.
That happened. I mean, that was part and parcel of what we've been through in this country.
So you employ people to come around at 8 o'clock in the morning and show up, and then going back to their beds, and you had to still pay them their wages at the end of the week.
I don't know about that. I can't.
Well, I can tell you it happened.
No, but I'm admitting that it did happen years ago. Nobody's denying that. That was part and parcel of what went on in this country, and it happened to both sides. Whether you got charged or not, the dogs in the street and journalists listening to this program know what happened in both sides. So I mean, I'm not even going to get into that argument. My argument was a man like that lad on yesterday So is the purport is on agenda about people in the Shankill and people in loyalist areas still doing it. You know what I mean? To listen to it yesterday, just to listen to his figures alone. So it was pan the sky. You knew what his agenda was.
No, you couldn't pay £500 a week. No,
I not.
But you did have to at least pay 100, maybe £150. Plus, you had to take one or two of the boys on.
And I agree.
Or whatever the case may be. You had dead money on two men, plus your £100, £150 every week. You know, you're getting close to that five, you know.
But that's what
I had to do, you know.
We had to employ
people.
Well, that's fine, and I've admitted that. I've also said, maybe not you, but as I say, journalists, the best journalists in the world who worked in Northern Ireland will tell you that it happened in both sides. Everybody knows it happened in both sides. My beef is, yesterday with those figures coming on, and as if this is some sort of Chicago-style area where every business pays hundreds and hundreds of pounds a week, and Bolton sites that's non-existent because it's been raped by the government, still pay them. I would love Bolton sites up here to give us houses, and they've closed four secondary schools in this area and two daycares.
Remember that we didn't focus on the Shankill. We were talking about people collecting protection money on both sides.
Stephen, your contributor did. That's the point. Your contributor did, and he wasn't pulled up on. I'm not here to talk about the rights and wrongs of Johnny Adair. The people in the Shankill judge Johnny Adair by themselves. In Scotland, doing security consultancy.
What damage is it doing to people, George?
Well, Stephen, it hurt people up here listening to him. I have to say it hurt people up here listening to him yesterday on the airwaves, because it was the families and friends dragged apart to his, on this road while he was here, and let's get back to some sort of normality. Now, it's not perfect. Nowhere is perfect.
Have a listen to Brian in Belfast. Morning, Brian.
Good morning. My daughter was interested in taking over a nail bar shop on the Woodstock Road about 2.5-3 months ago. She went over, looked at the shop, talked to the people who owned it, and she got the different amounts. She had to pay rates, rent, and all this sort of thing. And she was also told that she had to pay £70 a month to the UDA on the Woodstock Road.
Was she?
Or £70 a week, sorry.
How did she feel about that?
Well, put it this way, whenever we done the figures, it just didn't add up, and we had to let it go. And this money, it's rife on the Newton Arch Road, Woodstock Road, Craigie Road. I don't think there's a shop in there that doesn't pay so much to the so-called loyalist organisations.
Yeah, we're not saying this is in any one area. We're saying it damages livelihoods with shopkeepers who are trying to employ people.
I know what happens in the East. I drink in bars in East Belfast, and you hear stories all the time. And it goes, it's rife. The man talking from the Shankill, he's maybe talking from his own experience. I'm talking from my experience. And on the East Belfast, it is rife. And it's not the criminal gangs. It's loyalist organisations that are doing this.
Here's Jim. Morning, Jim.
Hi, Stephen. Well, just to echo your previous caller there, my brother had a company in Rosetta. He employed people from all over Belfast. And he had to give these guys from the Craigie Estate, Woodstock Road areas, and Beaver £150 a month. And when it was late, his car was damaged, actually vandalised, they smashed his headlights, taillights, and that was a warning.
Wow.
I seen it with my own eyes.
Well, that kind of says it all, George, doesn't it?
It does.
Absolutely.
And my brother.
Disgrace, and I had my own businesses. So I know the effect it would have had. People coming in asking for that money. So, and as I say again, I can't say enough that going on in a big time. And I think those gentlemen, was this recently or was that, you know what I mean, was it years ago as well?
Does it really matter? Does it matter if it was last week or last year?
I appreciate and I respect you and I believe what you're saying. My point is, we've came a long way from the dark, dark days when there was bodies on the street in Union Astoria.
It took us a long time to come that way, my friend. And these people are maybe in their wee way, in their wee minds, in their wee negative minds, trying to keep it that way. And it's
I've worked every day in my life from a left school. I've never been near anybody for a benefit. I've worked all my days. But as my point is, and I can't get across strongly, I live in an area that was deprivated by government and deprivated by the Troubles. And we had that man on yesterday saying there was Bolton sites being extorted, which is non-existent Bolton sites up here. And we had him saying £500 out of a small business. Now, you and I agree to disagree on certain points, but you know £500 out of a small business anywhere near it couldn't sustain it. £2,000 a month, that was just pure lies.
No, 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 no. It wasn't pure lies, for goodness sake.
Well, then, not the only other, take me to court.
Well, I doubt he's going to do that. It's a difference of opinion.
Well, actually,
isn't it?
Getting back to Johnny Adair, it's Jim again here.
Yes, Jim.
The word security was bandied about quite a bit. And maybe it was just, if you think about it logically, it was for your own security. If you didn't pay the money, well, then you felt insecure. So, you know, take out of that what you want.
All right. George, thank you. Jim, thank you.